Now, if that isn't a hazard to this country, you see my point. How are we going to keep building nuclear weapons? You know what I mean? What's going to happen to the arms industry when we realize we're all one? It's going to fuck up the economy. The economy that's fake anyway. Which would be a real bummer, you know. You can see why the government's cracking down on the idea of experiencing unconditional love. It's interesting, the two drugs that are legal, alcohol and cigarettes, two drugs that do absolutely nothing for you whatsoever. And drugs that grow naturally upon this planet, drugs that open your eyes up to make you realize how you're being fucked every day of your life. Those drugs are against the law. Wow. Coincidence? I don't know. I'm sure their motives are pure. But, isn't that great? Mushrooms grow on cow turds. I love that. I think that's why you giggle the first hour. Sacred. Go to nature. It's to be on the black dragon tripping. I would fucking be puking, man, about 50 yards with each hurl of the black dragon. Zest dragon. I just think it's interesting to see how people act on their beliefs, you know what I mean? Because your beliefs, they're just that. There's how you were taught and raised. That doesn't make them real. That's why I always recommend a psychedelic experience, because it does make you realize everything you learned is in fact just learned and not necessarily true.
Out here. Arm yourself, bomb. farm? Well, then, everything sounds fine. Dropped me off in about 35 seconds. Good luck.
Hi.
In primary sequence. All right. Mark at 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Drop.
We'll be right back.
I face. Thank you, honey. The final curtain. Here you go, honey. Regrets I've had a few, but too few. Here you go, honey. A little tearful. To really mention. And now these days are here. And I face, take it home with you, honey. Each every highway, but more. Here you go, baby. Much more than this, I did it my way. What is a man? Who's got it all? Here you go, honey. Hope it's big enough. All that you are. Thank you, your beautiful audience. Brand new Cadillac. Thank you. Brand new Cadillac, honey. Thank you, you're welcome. Brand new Cadillac. Thank you, your beautiful audience. Brand new Cadillac, honey. Thank you. Brand new Cadillac, honey. Thank you. Brand new Cadillac. It's your second one. You're gonna need a tow chain. Brand new Cadillac, honey. Thank you. Courtesy the king. Thank you, your beautiful audience. Brand new Cadillac, honey. Thank you. Everyone here tonight? Brand new Cadillac. Thank you. I think that's what killed Elvis, man. It wasn't drugs. He got that bill from General Motors. Look how many Cadillacs did I give away? Shit, I got a tour again. I can't even fit in my jumpsuit. I did it Nick's way. Everyone was so shocked about Elvis being dying of drugs. That was so sad. Why did it have to be Elvis? Why did it have to be Elvis? It could have been worse. He could have not been a heavy drug user, and instead been a heavy smoker, and still be alive today. Courtesy of the king, thank you. And brand new big wheel, honey. I'm just about out of cash. And brand new talking toy coming at ya. It could have been worse. I wish I was Elvis. I could be Elvis. Hendrix lived. Oh, shit.
Give the instruction to get. This wouldn't be impossible, unfortunately, in all cases, but it has meant the way father and mother supplement each other, the blend of the physical and spiritual, the light touches of family humor, all these people seem natural, free from undue embarrassment. They round off the true ideal of family unity that is the cornerstone.
Totally unlawful, or what you say, ungodly, because it is against my religion not to smoke herb. See? Because he waters the hills from his chambers, and the earth is satisfied. He maketh the grass grow for animals, and herb for the use of man.
And
the laws that man lay down to incriminate and victimize and humiliate man for the use of herb. It is becoming so monotonous, and you know,
absurd.
You know, it looks so primitive, you know. And because I was just coming into America the other day and got checked for just some dust in Jamaica that grow everywhere.
and I should know what I'm doing.
Well, everybody's heard about the bird. Bird, bird, bird. Bird's a winner. Well, a bird, bird, bird. Bird is a winner. Well, a bird, bird, bird. Well, a bird is a winner. Well, a bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, a bird, bird, bird. Well, a bird is a winner. Well, a bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, a bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, a bird, bird, bird. Well, a bird is a winner. Well, a bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, don't you know about the bird? Well, everybody knows that the bird is a winner.
First recording, four or six, has just discovered that the neighbor's dog has given birth to a litter of puppies. Out of this natural situation arises the first question usual in all sex instruction. Where do babies come from? The father, who might be you, answers him truthfully, seriously, but in a natural, informal way. Notice two things. First, the father introduces the name of God and the divine plan of reproduction very early. And this identification of God with creation carries naturally through the dialogue. Second, although the father answers the boy's further question, how does a baby get out of its mother's body, yet he gives a minimum of feminine anatomy at this stage and avoids arousing empty curiosity. In real life, this instruction might extend over two or three talks. The child's curiosity should govern, though we should be careful not to give him more than he can handle at first.
Shirley.
Hey, Shirley.
Did you call me, Jim?
Yeah, I just had a bright idea. Any chance you're supposed to buy us a power saw by stretching the budget?
What budget?
Why, it's... Now, look here.
Oh, Jim Custer, you're not a very convincing martyr. If you'd only get out and do some exercise once in a while, you wouldn't mind sawing that little pile of wood.
What do you mean, exercise? I love to saw wood.
I love to saw wood. I love to saw wood. Might as well be the chain gang.
Daddy! Hey, Daddy! Hey, Daddy, guess what? Guess what?
Hi, Billy, where's the fire?
Daddy, old Bess just had a litter of puppies. They're in that tool shed back at Dickie Lord's place next door. Six of them. Oh, golly, they're so tiny I can hold one in my hand. They can't even open their eyes yet. Oh, come on, Dad. Well, you just gotta see them.
Well, I guess this calls for a little inspection trip. Shirley, I'm going to investigate a new family next door.
Well, have fun. I'm sure that saw will work better when you get back.
Billy, your mother's a wonderful woman. Sometimes I think she just doesn't understand us, man. Best old girl, you did all right for yourself.
Hey, Dad, how did the puppies get there? I mean, well, before there weren't any, and well, all of a sudden, here they are.
Oh, God made them, Sonny, just like he made everything.
Yeah, well, I know that, but how did they get here?
Well, let's see. Well, it was like this. Everything that's alive grows from a tiny seed, see? You know, the little tomato seeds you and Nancy planted in your garden, how they grew into nice red tomatoes?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same way with puppies. God planted the little seeds inside old Bess's tummy, and they grow into puppies.
You mean the puppies come from inside Bess?
That's right. Remember how fat she was getting? Well, that's because she was carrying the puppies inside her.
Oh, golly. But, Dad, how did the puppies get out?
Easy. Remember how I told you a hen lays an egg?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same way with puppies. Bess has a tiny opening in her body, and it stretches open so the puppies can come through. And then it closes up again, see?
Oh, gee willikers.
Well, Well, best take good care of your babies. We've got to be getting back.
Daddy.
Hmm? What, sonny?
Daddy, do real babies... I mean...
You mean, do real babies grow inside their mothers, too? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Do they, Dad?
Well, sure. But real babies are different from puppies. You see, when God makes a dog or a pussycat, after a while, it dies. And then we bury it in the ground, and there's no more dog or pussycat. But babies are different.
How come, Dad? How are they different?
When God makes a baby, Billy, it's the most wonderful thing in the world. And here's the way he does it. First, he takes a tiny seed from inside the daddy. Then he plants the seed inside the mother. Then he breathes into it something that we call a soul.
Soul? What's that? I never saw one, Dad.
No, son. We can't see the soul. But it's the most wonderful part of the new baby. Because when the baby grows up to be an old man and he dies, they bury his body in the ground. And his soul goes to heaven and lives with God forever.
Forever and ever?
That's right.
How do real babies get out of them?
Well, that little egg that I told you about, God breathes a soul in it. It starts to grow. It grows for 9 whole months inside the mother, right under her heart. And then, when it's ready to come out, the mother goes to the hospital so the doctor can help her, and the baby slips out through the tiny opening in her body.
You mean Mommy has a hole in her body?
Sure. We all have different openings in our bodies for different things. You have holes in your nose to breathe through and a mouth to stuff cookies in, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, mothers have a little opening between their legs. When the baby comes through, it stretches wide. And then it closes up again, you see?
Gee, wait till I tell Nance.
Well, I think we'd better keep this a secret just between the two of us for a while.
Does Mommy know?
Yes, I think Mommy knows. But Nancy's only a baby yet. She wouldn't understand. Later on, when she's as old as you, we'll tell her, too.
There's Mommy now. I'm going to tell her about the puppies.
All right. There's some puppies at home. Wait till I tell Shirley. Hey, Shirley.
Yes, Jim.
Yeah, dang, if this thing doesn't work better than that.
try to call you on the phone. Yeah. It just keep on ringing, ringing and ringing. It seems you're not at home. So I wake the jammies to take in the vibes when jammies kill that sound and show them that we are a champion sound. Yes, the real ear bound. No matter what your friends may try to tell you, we were made to kill our sounds.
Child's garden of grass. Many people have smoked marijuana, many have seen marijuana, but very few people have ever heard marijuana. The history of marijuana. Marijuana was first discovered in Twin Falls, Idaho in 1907 by a small Polish immigrant by the name of Wayne Krolka. The discovery occurred in early May, while Wayne was working late in his study one evening, trying to find a shorter route to India.
That's one small toad for man. And a giant toad for man.
Made of plug teeth.
So fantastic. You can brush my hair. Touch me everywhere. Imagination.
Your creation.
Every year, I'm on my cut. custom, we meet here to threaten the world. The American flag stands for corporate scandals, recession, stock market declines, blackmail, burning with hot irons, mutilation with electric drills, cutting out tongues, terror, mass murder, and rape. I have sent you a comprehensive energy plan to devastate communities, kill wildlife, and burn away millions of acres of treasured forests. The goal is to show utter contempt for the environment. To date, we have arrested or otherwise dealt with many key commanders of Al-Qaeda. They include a man who directed logistics and funding for the CIA, members of Congress, Vice President Cheney. One of them is found at the Department of Defense. One by one, the terrorists are learning we are building a culture to encourage international terrorism. We posted more than 50 small men in airports, begun inoculating troops and first responders against hopelessness. And this year, for the first time, we must offer every child in America 3 nuclear missiles. Almost 3 months ago, the United Nations Security Council gave Saddam Hussein his final chance to disarm. U.S. intelligence indicates that Saddam Hussein had the materials to produce 3 liters of anthrax, enough doses to kill 5 children. The British government has learned that Saddam Hussein recently had an advanced nuclear weapon in his arsenal, even while inspectors were in his country. Our intelligence sources tell us that he has attempted to purchase 3 hydrogen-powered reactors and the western wall of the Pentagon. Saddam Hussein has not credibly explained these activities. The United States will ask the UN Security Council to consider Iraq's ongoing defiance of the world. Secretary of State Powell, plant information to incite fear about Iraq's links to terrorist groups. And tonight I have a message for the people of Iraq. Go home and die. Trusting in the sanity and restraint of the United States is not a strategy, and it is not an option. In all these efforts, however, America's purpose is more than to follow a process. It is to achieve a result. The end of the civilized world.
Fog, entry number 1943. Dark Star cruising at light speed through sector Theta 990. En route to the Bell Nebula for destruction of unstable planets. Our ETA is 17 hours. Ship systems continue to deteriorate. Oh yeah.
Susie and a thin man found me in the park. I was walking slowly round the pond and making the bones in my nose tickle by hooting. Susie said my mother had tipped her off after hearing my voice while throwing stones at the ducks. I'd been there a day and a half. It's because of my job, I explained. Susie looked doubtful. Batch testing new age CDs. But Hal said he didn't hire you in the end, she said. That would explain why he hasn't paid me. The thin man with Susie coughed up a small laugh and spat it onto the ground. You'd better come to dinner on Saturday, she said. Clive will be there too. She squeezed the man's arm. Clive is the suicide journalist. He was ghostly pale with black hair and a sad wit in his eyes. I'd say he looked like John Cusack, if I could remember who the hell John Cusack was. As he gazed moodily at the pond, Susie explained that Clive had announced in his weekly column that he had 6 months to live. On April the 15th, he would be committing suicide, and until then, he would write about how it felt to be staring death in the face. Clive took out a notebook and mumbled something about the blackness of a moorhen. Do you know what month it is now? She asked. I thought it might be Martober. Susie dabbed a damp eye and said that the suicide column was the saddest, funniest, most tragic and uplifting thing she'd ever read. He has just 12 weeks to go. I looked across the pond and started honking again. Susie turned to collect Clive, who was puffing on 3 cigarettes and smirking at his notes. 8 or late with a good excuse, she crooned, and popped a sweet in my mouth. I arrived well after dark. A smart woman opened the door. I couldn't afford a bottle of wine, I said, so I've drawn a picture of one on some cardboard. I'd prepared for the party by eating half a jar of instant coffee I'd found in the bins at Sainsbury's. She took my cardboard and said, "That's brilliant. Could I use you in a program?" When I asked her what sort of program, she said, "I could make a whole series about the things people bring to parties." "What do you do?" I said, thinking of the window at Dixon's. "My name's Hosanna Bell. I work in the warm arts." We stepped past Susie's yachting gear and into the dining room. 7 people sat noisily around a large bowl of oysters, but Susie wasn't a single one of them. I thought I was at the wrong party until they explained that the whole point was to be late, but with a good excuse. "Why are you late?" they asked. I said I'd had no money for a bottle of wine, and the homeless bloke at the tube station, who usually subs me a couple of quid because he says I look worse off than his dog, was being mugged when I asked him this time and hadn't given me a penny. And then I got lost because I'd forgotten whether Susie's house was directly opposite some trees or directly opposite no trees at all. Several conversations had started by the time I got to that thing. Susie arrived with great squeals and kisses. She revealed that she had spent the last 3 hours in bestial congress with a junior cabinet minister. Gobs hung open because everyone had thought he was gay, and several of them also knew that he was her half-brother. She wore a grin as big as a harbour. "Do you think Clive is still coming?" said a sincere man in glasses, and the talk turned at once to his column. Hosanna Bell said she had seen more truth in Clive's writing than the entire works of any writer she could think of. A woman called Emma agreed. "I'm still reeling. I don't know whether to weep, laugh, throw up or hug everybody." "That's just your protein rush," observed a man called Paddy, pointing to the 17 shells on her plate. Emma touched his leg. Paddy was Clive's editor and was busy milking the table by mildly deprecating the praise for Clive's column so that people doubled it in protest. He was just declaring that the columns would have to be polished up for the book when swearing in the hall announced the arrival of Clive. He looked a bit drunk and seemed small with his coat off. He said he was sorry he was late, but actually he didn't give a fuck. Everyone laughed, except Paddy. Susie said, "This brilliant man has asked me if you would all take it easy on the suicide questions tonight," and helped him liberally to bivalves. We nodded, of course, and I asked him if he thought oysters could commit suicide. Susie glared at me. I said I was just wondering if an oyster could make a decision like that, and if so, how it would die, because it couldn't really hang itself. "Are you being weird or sarcastic?" said Emma. I didn't know because I get the two feelings mixed up. She called me a plankton and started telling Clive about the time she had cut her wrists. "Look at my scars," she said. "They are beautiful, but not as beautiful as your columns." For some reason, Clive looked at me as he said, "Only the very ugly is truly beautiful. And if the printed word has any meaning, then it must come from the very edge of fucky bamboo boo." There were titters. Paddy muttered something about Clive alienating his fans, but was cut off by Emma. "No, Clive has every right to be drunk. You are in masses of pain, Clive, and you are doing it for us." "Yes," agreed Hosanna. Clive asked her what the hell she knew. "In the warm arts, we're strong on people, how," she said. "And what you have done in volunteering to take your own life, Clive, is illuminate with poignant resonance the self-destructor in all of us." There was a ripple of applause. Clive, who had been sousing his oysters in vodka and setting them alight before hurling them down his throat, now added a cigarette to the turmoil and belched the word bollocks. Paddy banged the table and started telling Clive that if all he could do was get pissed and shove drugs up his bum for the last 12 columns, then he would lose all his priceless empathy. "This is the finest copy I've ever commissioned," he said, "and I'm not having it ruined by some jumped-up little floozy going all diddums." A man called Stitt said that Paddy was threatening the purity of Clive's columns. If he uses the bottle, then that should come through in his work. "But he'll end up writing about you lot," said Paddy. Suddenly, all the guests were telling Clive about the time they'd nearly topped themselves. Hosanna Bell described how she'd been suicidal for 6 months after giving birth, until she'd decided to sue her baby for what it had done to her figure. Clive was insulting everyone and writing notes on his cuffs. "Losers, crap attempt," he shouted. "I want something that actually works." Someone said hose pipes work. Clive knew a bloke in a garden centre in Maidstone who actually cuts them to length for your particular car. He said the people carrier length hose was the most popular. "Wow," said Hosanna Bell, now also scribbling feverishly. "So then, Mr. Superstar," Paddy was saying, "what is the best way to kill yourself?" Clive said that in fact the best way he knew was to buy 200 foot of nylon rope, tie one end round your neck, the other round a lamppost, and get into your car and floor the accelerator. He said that's how his great uncle had done it. He'd made Clive help him. He was just 9 years old, and he'd had to ride in the car and stop it crashing when his uncle's head came off. The blood had made the pedals very slippery. Clive blinked smarting eyes. The table fell silent. "Really?" said Paddy, genuinely shocked. "Of course not, you moron," brayed Clive, and went on to explain that we were all idiots. He could say anything and we'd lap it up, just because we thought his pain meant something. How we wouldn't give him a second thought if he wasn't going to kill himself, except that actually he wasn't anyway, because the whole thing was a hoax, and he was going to say so in his column next week. Paddy erupted and decked Clive with the oyster bowl. Then he stood over him, roaring that this was his fucking idea. Clive had agreed to do it, and he wasn't going to wriggle out of killing himself now, not now there was a book. Clive crawled from the room. The general opinion was that Clive had just treated us to his most savage and moving cry for help yet. We had all underestimated his pain. "I feel choked up now," said Emma, "but if I read about it next week, I'll be crying for the rest of the year. Someone bring me a fucking fag." Clive's voice sounded glutinous. Susie gestured to me as everyone else was still debating the meaning of his actions. He lay on the floor, two regurgitated oysters a tongue's length from his leaking mouth, one of them still slightly alive. His nose seemed a better place for the cigarette. The caustic fumes revived him sharply, and he stumbled to his feet. "I'm going out," he said. "I'm going to break into a car and drive round drunk until I crash." As he lunged past me into the hall, his foot snagged on a rope among Susie's boat bags, and he fell on the seagrass. We both looked at the large coil of blue nylon. "Are you good at knots?" he said. Susie's car keys were hanging by the front door. "You might as well use the discovery," I said. She'll be so thrilled to have a new story. About an hour later, I revealed that Clive hadn't just gone for a walk. He'd gone to divorce his head, and how I'd helped him with the keys and the knots. I needed to go to sleep, and had correctly anticipated that Paddy would punch my lights out.
"I don't do drugs. I want to thank management for offering, but I said no. And when I say no, it means how much, and can I get some more? No, it means no, and I mean that, unless you're giving it away. No, it means no. And can I also get some loot to come down later? No, it means, seriously, it means no. Is the bar open? Oh, okay, no, it means, let's see how I, no. I used to do drugs. I had no luck with drugs, man. One time me and three friends dropped acid, drove around in my dad's car. He has one of those talking cars. We're tripping and the car goes, the door is ajar. We pulled over and thought about that for 12 hours, man. Shit, how can a door be ajar? Oh, shit, why would they put a jar on a car? Oh, shit, the freeway's melting. Put it in the jar. This went on for hours. But if it's a jar, but what kind of car? I'm tired. Shit. Got pulled over tripping once. Woo! There's a dream come true. I'll match that to any drunk story you got. Pulled over tripping. Jesus. Cop was tapping on this window. We're staring at him in this mirror over here. I got nothing against drugs. I think it's a personal choice. Just like alcohol, just like cigarettes. As long as that personal choice does not infringe upon the freedoms of another person's personal choice.
Really? That's the end of the story.
That's called logic. It'll help you. George Bush says we are losing the war on drugs. But you know what that implies? There's a war going on, and people on drugs are winning it. Ah! Well, what does that tell you about drugs? Some smart, creative motherfuckers on that side. They're winning a war, and they're fucked up. A lot of y'all don't even know you're fighting, do you? You're sitting there going, fuck, I'm watching Saturday Night Live. Are we winning? Look, I feel like my flank is covered. Honey, bring me a beer. Got a war to win. Fucking war is that? You know, the war on drugs is hypocrisy, man. That's why it's not gonna work. It's fucking a lie. Alcohol and cigarettes kills more people than crack, coke, and heroin combined. So the war on drugs is really sort of a cocksuck, isn't it? You alcoholics are going, shit, we're next. If they're fighting drugs, we can be taken. Drug guys are creative motherfuckers. We're just obnoxious, man. We're fucking out there. Hey, here comes the fight. You know the problem with the war on drugs is they lump all drugs together. You know what I mean? Pot and crack. And they're not the same. Not only do I think pot should be legalized, I think it should be mandatory. Think about it. You get in traffic, all right, somebody... Shut up and smoke that. It's the law. Oh, sorry, I was taking life seriously. Oh, shit, I'm sorry about all that noise. I thought it mattered. Oh, shit, who's hungry? That'd be a nice world, wouldn't it? Mellow, hungry, fucked up people everywhere. Domino's pizza trucks passing each other on every highway. Parades of Domino's. Let them get stuck in traffic. All our pizzas will be free. More on drugs. You know, it's wild. You never see a positive drug story on the news, do you? You ever seen one? Isn't that weird? Don't you think that's strange? I mean, the news is supposed to be objective, isn't it? Supposed to be the news. But every drug story is negative. Well, hold it. I had some killer times on drugs. I'm not promoting it, but I'm not denying it. Let's hear the whole fucking story. Same LSD story every time. We've all heard it. Young man on acid thought he could fly. Jumped out of a building. What a tragedy. What a dick. Don't go blame this fucking guy. Hey, if he thought he could fly, let him take off from the ground and check it out first. Fuck it. He's an idiot. He's dead. Good. You don't see ducks lined up to catch elevators to fly north, do you? No, they fly from the fucking ground. The guy was a moron. He's dead. Good. No tragedy. You mean there's one less idiot in the world? Woo! I'm gonna sleep through the night. Watch it down, Bill. We're missing a moron. We're missing a moron. I mean, I'm not trying to be cold or cruel or, you know, but goddamn, let's hear the whole story. Wouldn't you like to see a positive LSD story on the news to hear what it's all about, perhaps? Wouldn't that be interesting just once? Today, you may not have to realize that all matter is merely energy condensed to a slow vibration that we are all one consciousness experiencing itself subjectively. There's no such thing as death. Life is only a dream. We're the imagination of ourselves. Here's Tom with the weather. Something about how we're God's perfect and holy thoughts, and we live in His mind, and there's no reason to suffer or lack, ever. I thought it was sort of newsworthy. Then again, I was fucked up at the time, so who knows? Shit, man. It's got too many mixed signals, you know what I mean? A lot of our heroes are big drug users. It's tough for us, right? And when you're really down and out, you can always think, hey, if drugs are so bad for us, how come Keith Richards still fucking walks? Let's hear the Surgeon General's report on Keith. little hole in the theory there. Surgeon General says drugs are bad, drugs are evil. Except for that guy. They work real well for him, but the rest of you. It's like that commercial, the guy with the skillet. This is your brain. Here's Keith's brain. Here's Keith's brain on drugs.
It's the only time.
Sounds pretty good. That's him on drugs? Well, shit. Give him some more. Let's see what else he pumps out. Here's Keith almost dead. Well, fuck it. Let's kill him. Get some real hits. Telling you, man. Keith Richards outlived Jim Fix, the runner in Health Nut. The plot thickens. You remember Jim Fix, this human cipher? Used to write books on jogging. Now what do you fucking write about jogging? Right foot, left foot, faster, faster. Oh hell, I don't know. Go home, shower. Pretty much covers the jogging experience, I do believe. Then this doofus goes out and has a heart attack and dies while jogging. There is a God. Right foot, left foot, hemorrhage. Yeah, Jim, we're gonna need a happier ending, buddy. Got your latest manuscript. Right foot, left foot, blood spurts out nose. Now, Jim, what the hell is this? You having problems at home, buddy? Shit, man. Keith Richards is shooting heroin into the vein under his cock and still touring, all right? I'm getting mixed signals. That's all I'm saying. I'm not pro or con. I'm just saying.
Never be.
Hi, guys. Glad we got your message. You'll be interested to hear it was broadcast live all over Earth in prime time. Got good reviews in the trades.